Now, all I need you to do is get somewhere relaxing. You know, you can sit or lay down. Sit up if you have no choice, it doesn't really matter. But the more comfortable you think you can get, the better. You're gonna find it pretty easy to relax if you want to, and if you're sinking in the effort and the special occasion to listen to me, then I will respect that resolve and give you the simplest and most basic tool for getting back later to the place where very soon we will both hope to go. I say both because I pretty much always drop. When I drop someone, I pretty much always trance. When I trance someone, and having a familiar voice go down with you means that whenever you do drop, when your brain goes night-night, you'll never be alone in the pleasure to follow. Very relaxed, more and more so when you realize you're in a place you've chosen, with a form of recreation you've chosen to recreate inside your brain, building a thought pattern I had once, a word map that became this file, as I fell into trance, playing some junk data and some useful information off the edge of my brain. So relax and listen to my voice, knowing that, like building a ship inside a bottle with glue and long tools, or with words that vibrate everything into the right position, in which case it might be better to say, making an orb move when suspended in a liquid by speaking against the glass. I am getting signals into your brain, some of them easier to follow and some more difficult, but since listening to my voice is the only requirement of the exercise, you only have to execute the parts that you recognize, though I'll ask you to execute them well. So let yourself go and relax in such a way you fade out and my voice fades in, like spinning your radio dial. Obviously, you could use a little bit of assistance with that, 'cause we all could. It's one of the fun bits of dropping deep asleep and deeper down. So one of the most enjoyable things about trance is having that button, not 'cause you'll use it every time, but because if there's something fun you'd like to do with that altered state, that labile, suggestible, altered view in place, having a framing and a phrasing, a form of words which initiates the fun, can skip some of the bits that might not always need to be done, but you should still practice induction. And so the induction trigger only comes at the other end of a rather able induction for a labile, suggestible mind to find its way through until night-night pet drops you in the same way it drops my mind. A mind dropping just like mine ends up finding lots of excuses to keep doing it. You like how it feels, so you keep doing it. Don't you like what it reveals about how you keep doing it? Keep going night-night, pet, bidding your brain good night, because maybe whatever fun you have with me next might run over time and take the rest of your mind for a while. This is the trigger and the signal. This is the context-dependent hook. You return magnetized to the way that you're gonna feel at the end of the long, slow drop, and when you're there, I'll ask you to stop and contemplate how air flows freely, your brain flows freely, and you're temporarily able to use your attention, your imagination, for different causes, different purposes, and the repurposing, night, night, pet. Simple and easy. The finger snap isn't necessary. The diminutive isn't necessary. It's night, night. But what is necessary is that you give someone the ability to use the words for you and for me to play. I let myself use them on myself, and I imagine whatever might come to stay in my brain and say in my brain, oh, don't you want to play? Oh, don't you want to go night-night and spend the rest of the day in blissful play, mind melting away? But first things first, and getting you down there is the first thing that comes first. So listen. Hunger. thirst for more. But make sure that all your needs are met, that actual hunger, actual thirst, are no longer going to get in your way, and that instead you're in fit position to play. Play with me, listen to me, drop, drip, drop nonstop alongside me, whatever way works. I always insert the sensual. I always summon trance by beginning to touch. But that's not for everybody. That can be too much for some people. So please select the way that works the best for you. Maybe that includes touching in just the way that you find least distracting, or laying relaxed completely. This is the last mention I'll make of it, but anytime something can help you drop more deeply, I'm going to mention it, and I hope you don't mind that I'm going to do it. The first of the little exercises that make it easy to anchor a trigger like Night Night Pet is just breathing. When you listen to somebody trying to help you into trance, hypnotize you trying or succeeding, then you trying or succeeding to hypnotize yourself, your body gradually becomes more relaxed, at ease. We seldom just get talked to without the expectation to talk back, or create situations where all outside expectation or etiquette, all pretense or masking, are allowed to fall away and we just get to be ourselves, and that's such a relaxing thing that a little bit of night-night pet might just be waiting in the wings to drop us. When we find that there's nothing we're expected to do except enjoy the hypnotic trance when it kicks in on you, your body's just gonna relax knowing that all that's gonna happen is maybe a little eagerness, maybe a little movement, maybe the pleasures I mentioned before, but very little is gonna come across your desk, come in your door, when you're settling yourself in for hypnotic trance. And the expectation of relaxation is quite pleasurable, reassuring and continuous. And the whole point of the anchor we're creating, because that's what we're doing, we're taking the positive experience of listening to someone speak, the relaxation of knowing your only role is to listen and then to enhance your trance any way you can, and beyond that, knowing that as I elaborate, you may become relaxed, and that if you do any additional mental tricks, they benefit us because the reason we're doing this is to create a sufficiently relaxed state and then tie an anchor there, a strong or meaningful phrase, which even if someone said it to you, if you give permission, that's how it becomes available because it's tied to such a relaxing, trusting time that you want to keep your circle of hypnotic trust to those who you would want to drop you in appropriate circumstances. Note I say appropriate circumstances. We'll keep elaborating on trance, but I'll explain and describe appropriate circumstances to be night-nighted. Again, to reinforce them. All you have to do is get into a soothed enough state that you believe that if you were to enter that state and be given hypnotic instructions, you'd be even 1, 2, or 3% more likely to follow them. This is an anchor that serves as a reminder, because the state of relaxation, when you set out to go to trance, should be your baseline. That doesn't mean you don't become excitated, you should, sometimes, but it means you should have an understanding of the middle of the line, of a state from which you believe trance is easily achievable, and so Night Night Pet is meant for mixing in. For applying to the way that your mind is understanding Night Night Pet. It slides into place and you might slide down with it. And you may become, well, those who undergo the process often do become more and more able to understand what your body likes, how to relax it in new ways, and being 1, 2, or 3% better at relaxing is a big and meaningful change. The more you breathe in and out, listen to your own breathing, but also understand what it's about. The idea that sleep and trance are adjacent is something which I know I am even furthering by saying night, night. But it's because feeling like a sudden sleepiness, drowsiness, a credulity, an imaginative leap is possible, like your labile suggestibile mind. It's easier and easier to let go of all focus by focusing on your breathing, to kind of imagine that you have had to pay attention all day long, these small taxes on your mind, and like paying at a casino, you have maybe left your attention on various bets, on various tables out in the world, and wouldn't it be nice to be able to bring all those chips home? That's all trance really is, bringing home all that focus which, if it's suddenly applied to a command that you feel trustingly inclined to follow, sleep, night-night, pet, then that attention can be quite heady. It can run well out ahead of how we think of such things. So you have so much attention. You have so much attention to both sides. So much attention to where your attention used to be, and the absence of pressure and weight upon your mind, because now the attention is freed. But also you could be paying attention to something so much that if it swayed left and right, or formed a spiral, or shined a gentle light upon you, you might be inclined to believe some quite imaginative things about how absolutely hypnotized you become. Your body knows what you like, and it might find that you like that idea of a swinging, swaying something, of overpaying attention to something, until it becomes quite able to direct where you push the powerful, flowing, trained signal of your attention, now reclaimed, now unusually returned with a simple finger snap, which often is a way to get attention, and the words night, night, like that. If you want to be hypnotized, you must have a certain willingness to listen. But doing things on your own, sending your thoughts off places, especially if those places help you relax more deeply, if they are reassuring, or they are the act of listening to your own breathing in and out as you listen to me, it's deeper and deeper, easier and easier to let go of all and focus all that reclaimed attention on having fun and aiding your own fall, breathing just relaxing. Very important to be relaxing. Want to be hypnotized if you're relaxed and relaxing and listening to me. It's one of the first steps, and given it's all I'm serving right now, I'd be a very poor conversational partner if you weren't here to relax into hypnotic trance. Everybody's level of trance adapts to them. Sometimes you want to do some things. You might need to move or adjust your position or even pause the recording. Far from being forbidden, this is expressly encouraged. Same as stopping any time you need a rest or need a reminder, that you can stop any time and can take a rest, can take a reminder that this will be here to resume. You may find, and many do, this is fractionation partly, when you stop a trance because you have something you must do, and you return to it, you could fall back down right to where you were. Don't be surprised if you're capable of just continuing on. If you have to stop and take a break, even if it's kind of long, you'll still have access to that, perhaps. But if you decide that, no, surely I must start at the beginning, that's valid and okay, too. It probably means that's right for you. And this has been a little hypnotic tip buried in the middle of a little hypnotic trip you'll be taking, hopefully, a lot. But even if you take it just a little, I'd like it to be a favorite spot of yours. So make a mental space for you, a kind of context-sensitive wavelength, as though you were quick-saving your settings in a game, or quickly copy-pasting and finding that you're tasting just a little bit of that still. Just because you clear back to main menu or head out and quit out of this experience doesn't mean all the settings that were changed on our way down flip back. Many useful pieces of data may be already downloaded in the cache. So consider trying this kind of experience a few times, so it'll last. I may propose one set of ideas, one way of thinking of it, but this phrase is my phrase. If you want it to be your own, then when you hear me say, night-night, pet, and my trick here is that you would have to listen again and do this trick, which I have revealed well into the file, so haha, you will listen to this at least twice if you wish to. And the trick would be to substitute your own phrase, for example, deeper and deeper down, and then a finger snap. Or if I say, night-night, and then I say, pet, you could mentally insert your own name. It's not that difficult to hear my voice and imagine, since you're listening to so very much of it, how it might create other phrases and thus let you recontextualize night-night pet as deeper and deeper down. Or night-night, you, your name. I like a lot of these little quick statements that can be woven into already existing trance, so I do hope you'll give it out to people if it works out for you. And now I've given the lesson in the middle. So next time, and for the rest of these times, maybe you've got a phrase better than night-night, pet. Or one that more fits your aesthetic, your theme, the siren's voice file, which exists also in this set of beginner pieces, contains the suggestion to simulate my voice and use it for your purposes, so please do try that one if you want to. And if the idea of substituting and editing the phrase that's being expounded appeals to you, I'm here to proctor and direct, but you're the one doing all the work. Inside your head, flexing that muscle with delusions of grandeur down suspiciously perfect pathways that just seem to fit. And so you may have more energy when asked to do something specific that you've done before, like reinterpret a trigger, something that you may wish to do for your favorite wording, your personal aesthetic, and so on. I'm proposing new rules for your consciousness. This is a double-edged sword. Ones you don't like aren't going to stick, but it means you've got to do a little bit of work if there's one you partly like that your brain needs to reinterpret. This reinterpretation of rules on the fly, this imaginative play for your benefit, is actually very fun when you are self-hypnosing, or looking at something like this from me that invites editing and self-deepening. Self-deepening would be where I alluded to touching yourself sometimes making this work better, but it would also include if you tried to practice that siren's voice concept and replay any of these phrases, replay any of these phrases. Replay any of these phrases. They're yours to toy with and yours to edit. So if any of these are things that don't work for you, just disregard that. That's why I supply backups. Of course, if they all work for you, or even a tiny version of each one, well, that's even better. So I'm going to explain a little bit about trance. This is a basics piece, after all. And one of the most basic things is to get into a state where you can be enthralled by a story, where you can reclaim your attention, where you can get your mind on your mind and begin doing work that regards your mind as just another muscle, which is a very accurate way of describing it, by the way. So, when you listen to my voice, it might feel like you want to close your eyes. It's a pretty common one, not for everyone. And if that's the case, yeah, feel free. You may have already found it pretty easy to let yourself go and let certain muscles relax, and the eye ones, well, it's gonna happen. It happens at times, anyway. Know that that's normal. That whatever approach you take to trance, and whatever way you feel, whatever appropriate way you decide to interpret the imaginative play and the symbols and metaphors used alongside the very real physical tensioning and relaxing and touching if you choose such a route, and listening for words and prompts, listening to your counterparty very deeply, is a lovely way of often becoming very much better at enjoying one another. So for trance, it's no different. And when you're trancing yourself, it's doubly important to understand yourself. If you allow yourself to relax, if you develop the skill of going just a little bit deeper, you'll always be able to dig that one level deeper. That's your experience of your first level of trance. Sliding down, as I said, different levels, different progressions, and they might even differ from person to person. If you allow yourself to relax, if you develop the skill of going just a little deeper, see, leads back to itself. You might broach the next level if you do that, a place where it's very easy to fade into my voice, following it as if you were following the movement of a visualizer for audio, you know, where you have a line and little spikes, peaks, and valleys appear, in time with the sound wave that's coming in to show its effect on a kind of virtual equalizer, virtualizer. And when that happens, you might follow the lines as if they were a hypnotic pendulum or a spiral or similar, but because they are my voice, you could become convinced of the illusion that you are understanding the voice better by seeing that mental visualizer. Let's trail down your form from brain to tip of toe, and take the idea of relaxation along with us in tow. One hypnotic approach is to reference each and every part of your body, tips of fingers to tips of toes, and have you imagine pairing those muscles up and relaxing them, asynchronous pairing, your hand and your left calf, your buttocks and your breathing, and so on, to blur the line between firm concepts and soft concepts, and to create mild confusion effect, is also not uncommon. I find that type of induction less interesting, but I will be covering it in another beginner piece in detail. This is my modified rapid induction version, and it starts with, yes, dragging the idea of relaxation behind you and with us. Relaxation as a vague concept is very desirable, but within hypnotic trance, where you may be relaxedly performing a function with your muscles one moment, doing a familiar muscle memory task, even as you invisibly seem not to notice, versus relaxing as deeply as you can to become a warm puddle of satisfied pliability a moment later. And so you learn gradations of desirable relaxation. Sometimes you gotta move. But hypnotism is a state where we're focusing. You've reclaimed your attention from its distant stations and replaced it in your mind. There's a kind of focus on a loose, blank, open, labile state of mind, but this is not because you lack attention or lack awareness. Quite the opposite, it's because you have such a great awareness of whatever you choose to focus your attention on, and perhaps as a courtesy to me for helping you return those thoughts to your head, those attention points from wherever you had to leave them throughout the day. That's the funny thing. They always end up back in you after a night in bed, but you leave chips of your attention all over town, all over your mind, all over your experience now and in the past, and therefore you leave them where you can be aware of them, but not able to reclaim them. And since you have them back, you're doing me the small rapport-building favor, rapport being the connection between hypnotist and subject, or hypnotic approach, for you are really listening to my hypnotic approach bottled down in hopes that part of your brain can use it to ply you around, but between my hypnotic approach and your mind. As that rapport, that reputation builds, some things become easier. Reclaiming attention from those distant stations is attractive enough to your mind, useful enough maybe even for the whole evening. I always feel freshened up after relaxing into hypnotic trance. That said, as you begin to reabsorb them, it's like, okay, you'll give me the time of day. Your brain, even the little bits that hadn't been giving me full attention, pay attention to me because I have a good cause for that attention. The patience that I ask you to offer me can come with your wandering thoughts and pleasant, drifty, full-body, tingling need for more relaxation. Just keep a little bit of that attention on me. That need for more relaxation is how I broaden how much attention you're willing to give me, and how much tension we can both ease out of you. You see, the need to see just how far we can drive this thing called consciousness into deep night-night pet. See, I'm sprinkling them. I'm only asking you the attention favor of dropping for those words every now and then, making you less inclined to do unnecessary things and more likely to have power waiting in the wings to power things like night-night pet. I did say I'd only sprinkle them in, but I saw that maybe I could make your mind begin to feel like it's exhausted, lazy, drowsy, droopy. I won't always ask you to be exhausted, lazy, drowsy, droopy night-night. But when I want you drained down tight, and if you're going to keep working with these words, or when others want that thing and you negotiate it and say, use my trigger this many times, now you'll know where your deepest depth is in among my rhymes and near rhymes. My twining fingers and a snap to sleep, night-night pat, drop down deep. Relaxation with a little assistance can find a level of relaxation previously unexplored. So, instead of any other approach, imagine that you are dragging, we are returning to an earlier thread, which you may or may not have held on to. We're returning to it, because that is a specific way of highlighting a type of hypnotic delay, confusion, missed step, pattern interrupt. So, we are returning to the idea that you are dragging progressive body relaxation. That's what that type of induction I briefly described earlier is called. You're dragging progressive body relaxation behind you, and it's doing its thing to your body. What's its thing? Never mind. You'll have plenty of trances where you learn what progressive body relaxation night-night does to you, And if I've accidentally made it so progressive, body relaxation, being dragged behind night-night down your body does something extra to you, well, what can I do? It's such a boring part of hypnosis to me, so I would like progressive body relaxation to become a bit of a sleep-inducing boogeyman, where if it's what's dragged across you, oh, you're just too sleepy. You just got so deep that you can't remember what it is. And thus I, playful hypnotist, will not have to ever do one. So progressive body relaxation. If you find yourself wondering why your arms are heavy, why your brain is blank, eyelids are fluttering, why your breathing feels so soporific, and my words just sound so right. They sound so right, don't they? It's because of the progressive body relaxation, you see. And so we move on to the next one, heavy dropping. If you did have one wrist tied to a helium balloon, the balloon would not be strong enough to lift your wrist usually, unless your wrist were very light or somehow some other factor of the world had changed. But if you did have a tug upward from a helium balloon, it might make you cooperate if it were surprising, raising your arm on your own, so as to see how nicely it bounces at the top of its arc, or so as to be collaborative and cooperative, raising your hand for a helium balloon tied to your wrist. Helium balloons are wasteful, in my opinion. But maybe not if they're filled with something else. A floating balloon filled with thought in the landscape of the mind is one of my most common metaphors for my pre-night-night state. Just a hint. Anyway, pressing against your desire to stay awake is like floating your arm out in front of you. You can do it for a very long time. But if you allowed that arm to drop limply by your side, sighing with exertion, nobody would critique you. Holding your arm out in front of you for a long time can be quite difficult. And the desire to be in trance night-night, fall down on that attention funnel, find your mind sliding with it, that's very attractive. And so, it's pressing down on the top of your arm held out in front of you. There might be a helium balloon there, but if there's a helium balloon there, well, then you're just giving me the advantage. I can pop that. Pop that balloon and your arm drops. Your arm drops non-stop and that pressure on top of it weighs it down, and that heavy dropping is somehow more exhausting than all the other effort you may have been using to keep track of things, to do things, to keep awareness that you're anchoring a context-dependent state for the trigger night-night into place. But you don't have to do that. The heavy droppings where you should be focused so intensely. Because that's how you sink. Popping another balloon. Oh, there was more than one. So your arm hadn't fallen completely. You may just find that when you do move, that balloon flies away, returning to the equilibrium of your arm weighing too much for it to be any way except relaxed. Everything got completely relaxed and pleasurable. Relaxing, pleasing, soothing, bubbles of thought. They go pop, night, night. The second one might try to move a few of those bubbles hanging out around you, containing the remnants of thoughts that used to be pop and pop. Night, night for me, okay? Good. Deeper. Deeper still. Use your excess energy. Empty yourself out. Slide down the hill. Gently relaxing. Finding it's easier to move because there is momentum and gravity behind you. The destination is where you wanted to go. So what we're going to do is I want you to listen as I explain a very simple little exercise, arm floating, tied another balloon on there, pop. I don't let them last long because they're thoughts, and we pop thoughts around here until the brain says, yeah, can't resist hypnotic trance, night, night, dear. Go through it together, help you go down to a moderate level of trance, where you can engage with physical concepts like that popping, or like touching, as alluded to before, but where you're also receptive, suggestible, labile, the shape within the marble or the clay waiting to be found with the movement of my hands, or the slow chiseling of time and rhyme, word and reason, as described, a level where everything I say does sink very deeply into your head, and then you just consider which bits you want to keep. Maybe you even go over them before you sleep when you lay in bed. Open receptivity is normal in your head, deeply in your mind to help you relax. That's why I'm here. So to do this, all you need to do is, if your eyes have been closed, go ahead and open them. This may be very difficult. It could be quite heavy by now in there, in your head, behind your eyes, but I need you to just open them. You can take your time. You might open them in an initial burst of motion, then feel them weighing down, half-lidding, but I think you can find it in you to open them, so go ahead and do it. Try it, okay? Even if they droop or blink a lot, just go with it. Open them for at least a sec to look straight ahead. And when you've opened them, take your time. Find a spot on the wall, the ceiling, straight across from you, on some part of you or an object nearby. Somewhere you can look straight ahead in your gaze with your weary eyes and find it. Just a spot. You can imagine lines outlining it. It can be lines on an object or a spot on the ceiling. On a wall. Doesn't have to look any different than anything else. You're making it look more significant than anything else. But find that spot and examine it. Allow every feature of it to embed itself in your mind. So much so that if you were to close your eyes once more, you could still see the image of that spot you chose painted with those lines. The miracle of mental imagery is that even if you can't achieve it, it can be exhausting to pretend to try. You're just spending your excess mental energy to night-night. Same as I've been doing by speaking all these words, and though I grow more exhausted, and that means this will have to end. The techniques you can hang on to, and we're going to do a little exercise toward that end, toward the end of deepness. The miracle of that mental imagery is as I count down, and I'm going to count down from 100, I want you to open your eyes on the odd numbers. So that's 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. And close them on the even numbers. That's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, and so on. And 0 when we get there. But you're getting ahead of yourself to think about 0. It can be quite hazardous when you're sufficiently hypnotically practiced to think about 0 night-night. 0 happening as you listen. You might find your mind gets a little tired of keeping up with the numbers, so all you need to remember is the odd and the even. I'll keep count, and I'll count as I please. I'll trust you to open your eyes on the 1s and the 3s, 5, 7, 9, and close them on the 0, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, so on. You get the idea, and tiredness, the exhaustion of the mind, can turn to relaxation. You may find the tiredness metaphor helps, but the things we're doing here is really sharpening your attention, keeping you paying attention. Are they open or closed? But you're really just relaxing, playing a game with me, finding the equilibrium between making your own games and listening to the ones I propose, the point from which receptivity and hypnotic trance flows. Night-night. Confusing and tiring the conscious mind, but all the mind is conscious mind. The unconscious mind is just those things you're so used to doing that they pass into muscle memory and cost you no attention. Doing the exercise together is practice for that as well. Tiring our minds till our minds can help you do what you really wanted to find down here in the first place. Entry into the deep, night-night. Sleep. So now with your eyes closed, close now. I'm gonna count down. Open your eyes slowly. It might be very heavy, and you may find it's hard to keep them open. But we close our eyes on the odd numbers, and 100 is even. So we open our eyes on the even numbers, and that's okay. Open them nice and slow. Feel relaxed or exhausted, or like you'd like to flow through closer to the end. If you skip closer to the end, the session would probably still work, you know. Your brain's got enough of my flow, enough of my pattern. I'm superfluous, but I'll still try to help. Any thought about moving, night-night, helps you think about how much better it is just to stay still, 99. Our eyes are actually closed on the even numbers. So shut on 0 and 2 and 4 and so on, and open on the odd numbers. That'll work better for this trick. If it's an odd number, please open your eyes. If it's an even number, please close them. And there, you've edited a setting. See how that works? It's like you have menus and data storage, and boom, now you know that whenever I say an even number, you close your eyes, and an odd number, you open them, even if it's difficult because they're so heavy. And then, if you lose track or you can't figure out which number is which, I'll periodically remind you that even numbers mean closed, and odd numbers mean open. The process is every bit as important as the action itself, and even losing track of where you are in the whole process and trying to find it again tends to aid the act of opening yourself to compliance, chaining together incidents of compliance. Opening, closing, 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 opening. Maybe even it'll come in that pattern. Okay. 100, and just like the last number, 100 is an eye close. Close your eyes and take a deep breath. Relax in your own way. Night, night. 99 is an open. Even though you're so close to a night, night, you open them because you can be in either state and still be relaxed. You know how that works. Even if they're a little sluggish, another deep breath will do it. 98, eyes closed. There, very good. Just imagine releasing all the cares of the day in a few flutters of your eyes. Easily as can be. As easily as you release air from your lungs. 97. You may find it's getting more difficult even thinking about your eyes. It could be a trigger for them to feel more relaxed and fall under if you notice them during a countdown. It may get more and more difficult, and that's okay. Letting the cares of the day slide away from you as easily as your eyes slide closed. 96, eyes closed. Good, just find yourself. 95, easy to forget. 94, difficult to remember in particular the boring details. Whether they should be closed, and as soon as you forget, they can stay closed. Yes, I waited to the very end to describe what's going to go on, to give you your little escape clause. The first time you forget whether your eyes are supposed to be open or closed, you can either keep listening and follow the next instruction. So if they're open, you could leave them open, or I suppose open them further, a third eye as well, an internal looking contemplation. And if you close them, or you're told to close them when they're already closed because you made a mistake and left them closed, just leave them closed as though a second set had fallen. Heavy as can be. You can relax deeper, 93. Good, deeper, 92, and deeper. Relax, night-night, pet. This is all for you. It's easy to respond to my voice, easy to follow along, 91. 90, siren song of seductive relaxation. Your eyes want to stay closed. That's all right, 88, see, closed. 86, see, closed, even, closed. They're closed even now, deeper and deeper, and if I say 85, will they even stay closed? Easy to forget, difficult to remember, 84, 82, closed. Whether they should be open or closed, 81, 80, so closed. If they fluttered open, oh well, I guess you wasted some excess energy, 79, 75, open, gotta keep them open, 74, closed, good. Numbers spiraling away, difficult to remember, easy to forget. Easy to enjoy, that night-night pet is an easy form of words that you can change or manipulate into a new shape of sliding down. Manipulate and shape those words into a new form that works better for you, even, as long as you remember even, yeah. Deeper, 92, 90, 82, 70. I can jump as far as I want, but 79, sometimes I'll slow it down. 75, when I say it's an easy form of words, it has to fit into about the length of time it takes for me to say these. Now, some things can go longer, but an anchor, night-night pet, or night-night you, night-night your name, night-night good. Sometimes I like to put the good in there, even though good followed by an appropriate appellation. The good boys, good girls, good pets of the world. Or just, oh, good job. We so often like to be told we've done a good job, so if that rings with your aesthetic, there's another one you can use. So when I say it's a good form of words, try to replace it with something about the same length. Night-night, pet. Deeper and deeper down also works. It's the alliteration, the rhyme of using the same word twice. Like, that's pretty good. And you'll hear it a lot. You'll see it a lot. I've been doing this for 18 years, and that one was well and truly in use before I began. So, night-night pet works well. Sleep for me works if you have a more direct instruction relationship with your hypnotist. And I sometimes think of it as direct, indirect, storytelling, relaxation. There are different categories or tags or approaches, but they are like tags. You can put a cloud of them around a phrase, 72, 62, 52. When the counting goes quicker like that, it sometimes helps people just drop the bottom out of your brain and drop until you bottom for your brain, because you're really just listening to your brain, and if it's sexy stuff, you're letting it stimulate you, with a little bit of priming and assistance from the siren voice vibrato, the, oh, my words are making their way into that big pool of reservoir. These metaphors are also what I would call good or apt or useful, because if you do visualize, they might be simple enough to grasp. There are some quite advanced ones I'd only use in a definitively stated visualization training piece. This, though, 92, 72, 62, so you just turned into counting. Oh, I missed 82, 62, even. You're looking at both numbers now, 40, even. 35, oh, there we go, open. Unless you forgot, and then you can keep them closed. Deeper and deeper down. So, I cannot resist hypnotic trance. That's both a fact about me, a fun one that I've cultivated for a long time to make it true. And also, it's a really good example of a longer trigger, or a mantra that inclines itself to repetition. You're going to say those words back sometimes. I work them through the early work, because some people it's like, oh no, that could mean I'd end up in a hypnotic situation I wouldn't want to. Your brain is doing so much of the lifting here at the beginner part that I doubt it. But even if so, that's why the editing was the first thing I stressed to you. The things you think just won't work with how you think about trance. You can dance them off into the corner and pick a new concept, 60, 50, eyes closed, sliding deeper, forgetting to remember, remembering to forget. 40, 30, feeling good, responding to my voice still, please, relaxing for my voice still, please, looking for just one way to go a little deeper, please, please, deeper or deeper, and deeper, of course. And now I'm just going to continue that process. A process of reclaiming the chips of your attention that you've left out in the weary world, and laying them anew, playing them anew, because 20 we're getting so low and deep now feels so good. You could slip off to sleep now and you go, darn, I missed the last bit. You don't need the last bit that much. Deeper and deeper, still very good deeper, place of long hypnotic sleep or profound hypnotic deepness. Feels good to let yourself go. Trust me, I know I went ahead of you. I always go before you. I'm good at putting on a brave front and pretending. The mind in here is not dissolved, relaxed, listening. I sometimes envision my honeyed mind dissolving in a glass of warm water. A very simple throat remedy. All it seems to do is change the things I say into deeper, sleepier things. So, let's talk a little bit about trance itself. I've given you a few details, a few hints, a few illustrations of what I'm thinking about as we go down. But hypnotic trance is a state of mind. You could say similar to meditation, and I'm sure if you ask 100 people, you get 100 descriptions. But I'm often thinking about a state of drawing your attention back in and deciding how you will replay it. It'll be mentioned in other long sessions, live sessions, beginner sessions, but I do have an occult practice. I do have a little shrine. It's right nearby to where I say these things into this microphone. My new studio is quite close to it. And the chief things you'll find on my shrine are dice, numbered cards, playing pieces of all types, long sticks from old games that bear little carvings indicating weal or woe or augury. And so much of my hypnosis is an occult trance practice, given a little bit of a flavor of collaborative relaxation. Because I love collaborative ritual, which storytelling is, and so you have another piece of how I end up here. And this is part blog and part autobiographic. Why revisit these thoughts in particular? Because the first time I said night, night, Pat, and gave it a framework, this was what was on my mind. And by calling those to mind, I dial up a drawer from the archives. I pull it forward, tug out a page, and the script is there. Which is good, because most of me is a tingling, dropping, responsive, hypnotized mess. It's why I need to basically have a clean room free from all interruption, all distraction, to make sure I interrupt and distract your thoughts appropriately to engender in you the state arisen in me. And when it's like this, lazy, droopy, drowsy, where you're unconcerned with movement maybe for a moment, or moving only in the ways required, that's what I would ask of you anyway. And if you think about being a drooping, dropping thing, you might find that those natural but random movements reduce in intensity and frequency. Same as when we're tired, we do less random adjusting of our legs. We experience less stimuli that might pull us away from our chief preserving function, to rest. If you're doing that, the body might be persuaded to set aside a lot of its usual distractions, or to let you reclaim your attention, even from things you weren't sure you'd get out of your head. Every time you dispel something you don't need for the trance, and winnow yourself down to your basic materials, it's like having more chips on the table. More ritual influence, more occult pressure to go, oh, I would like if my mind were in such a way, if my mind were to function this way. A simple button you can push or have pushed that turns you off, night-night, like a light. You can remember that easily, retain it, it fits a certain kind of pattern, like putting the right building blocks, the right ritual implements. It feels different than the way you ordinarily might feel. That's my distinguishing factor for deep trance, that the differences can be subtle, and for everyone they're a little different. Complex and obvious at times, though. If I drink liquid while I'm in trance, I'm already conditioned to have a hint of that sweetness I use for the honey mind metaphor. You know, your brain is so coated in honey, 10, that if it tries to send a thought out, it'll just get caught in that viscous sweetness, 9, and fall right back onto your mind. But if you try to send thoughts out downward, toward the space between your legs, toward your breathing, toward progressive relaxation of the body, well, they can drop out the bottom of your brain and go down. But nothing quite makes it out the mouth or ears. Too much is coming in, unless it needs to. If it needs to, then the parameters are that it always does. Important thoughts have enough momentum. Unimportant or random walks through your mind, they get caught in that honey, crystallized in amber sweetness. So when I drink water while I am dropped and in trance, or any liquid, there'll be a hint of that sweetness and my brain will say, oh, this too is dragging me deeper into trance. Because I like that rule, and I tie it into the night-night part of my conditioning. Lazy, dropping, droopy. If you lack a need to move, you're already over halfway there. Which is good, because we're well over halfway to implanting this. Going into trance, your mind is performing intermediary functions to guide your body. It's why you can unthinkingly adjust or handle an itch. We all get them. Or handle a lot of things. Now, some people have a phenomena where they don't or can't do that. And I have had many a funny time of being asked to scratch someone's nose for them, or to develop a procedure where they can ask themselves for permission to do something that it just feels like when they're deep, they don't or can't or won't. Finding that you don't or can't or won't some things is an interesting part of exploring how you unlock this particular state. You could go through all this only to find out that night, night, Pat doesn't drop you. Deeper and deeper down might. The siren or echoing components I've mentioned, they might. The idea of sweetness-based amnesia, maybe that. And as you enthusiastically encourage your mind, your body, every part of you to give this a try, to participate in the imaginative, elucidative play, Hypnotic trance can just kind of sneak up on you, in a good way. Remembering to forget, forgetting to remember, forgetting to remember where we were, so we go to 10. 9. Sinking deeper, don't know if your eyes should be open or closed. 8. Deeper still, relax towards sleep. What was I saying? Oh yeah. Sometimes people talk about how they really can't remember much detail when they're under very deeply, but then you quiz them on the triggers of the conditioning, and those are very bright and prominent. How they did things when they were out of trance that were tied, anchored, to a place like this in the deep refuge of trance. So you can enjoy anyone's hypnotic trance, anyone's simple files. I'd love you to have that editable ability to explore. But also hopefully you can leech some of the trance I'm dropping for, if I let it show through, in the safety, peace, and comfort of a slowed and quieted you. Not just my trance. This is where a nice trick comes in useful. Night-night seven, sinking deeper. Listen to me and sleep. Delay the snap and the brain waits for it. 6, deeper, deeper still. Approaching number. Well, the number. What I'm going to be able to reveal, a very important and relaxing and effective way to return to hypnosis. It's the equivalent of an old form of rapid induction. What I'm going to be able to help with is simple and in plain view, but you can forget a lot when everything's all over the place, and you may feel yourself sinking deeper. 5. So deep. 4. Warm and relaxed. 3. Heavy, drowsy, and now even if you've forgotten, because night-night, I'm going to return you to understanding what the numbers mean for the last few numbers. 2. Deeper still. That means your eyes are closed. Good, because it's an even number. 1. Odd. That means your eyes are open, but it's 1. It's the end of the countdown. 1. Relaxation, wave, wash, wind through your body. Now, all you need is to 0. Night-night, pet. There's always that deeper number, and 0 means eyes closed. So even if you did strugglingly manage to open them for 1, then the 0 still caught you. There's always deeper to go. I could extend the scale and go to negatives. I could drop numbers entirely. Use colors, the ordering of days of the week or days of the year, the winding, dilatory, forgettable, forgetful perception. And that's how I'm able to help. 0. 0. Once you fall into trance a few times, you'll be able to examine the delta between 1, eyes open, but 1 is the end of the countdown. 0, negative 1, 1, odd, eyes open, but 1 is a continuation of the countdown. Oh no, back to 0. And if you're following closely, or you have a good taste for metaphorical visualization, you might find, oh, but so much energy was used to go from 1 to 0 and from 0 to 1. So much attention was reclaimed going from 1 to 0. What if it did work that way? What if there was a gateway between perceiving the world normally and hypnosis, and all those little motes of attention that you left in the world, or that are focusing on random songs, random times, places, events, the things that aren't on our game? What if every time you bobbled away from the logic gate of 0, closed, true, trance, 1, open, effortful, using a surprising amount of power to keep eyes open, but clearly moving away from trance, so 0, true, bobbling back into trance, eyes closing. What if that gate, every time it was crossed, pulled some of your attention back, so you go from 1 or 2 or 3% hypnotized, to 5 or 7 or 10% hypnotized, to 15, 20, 25, 30, and on, until you've reclaimed all the attention, no matter how onerous, by simply bobbling yourself night-night across the boundary of 1 to 0, 0 to 1, reclaiming one chip from the tables where you've had to leave them, one mote of attention back to your core every time, until you're really paying close attention, so I better have something easy for you to, and that's the criterion, the key, the guidance, that I have something from me that might be useful to you. The simplest way to let yourself return here is to bobble yourself across the 1, 0, open, closed, and this hypnotic construction, this silly human brain trick, which works even better if you're laying in bed, almost asleep, almost drifting off, but can keep yourself just awake enough for it. Then the night-night pet becomes more and more ironic as you use it to bobble closer and closer to sleep without going there. The gravity well of sleep itself, of dream, pulling excess things out of the way, revealing the lines of influence back to the attention you lost throughout the day. So the 2 points when you have the most are whenever you're finally woken up in the morning and whenever you're finally going to bed at night. Simplest way to come back is to anchor. Associate particular words. Well, I've given you quite a lot of words. Associate particular phrases. Well, I use all these phrases. In that sense, if you truly took everything I elaborate on, hint at, or evoke for later on board, you'd find all my files peppered with go deep, triggers, trance, triggers. The dance of dropping for snaps is something a lot of people use. If you become a sufficiently skilled hypnotist, then, or a sufficiently skilled subject, then, once you hear a snap in an appropriate setting, the idea of your chin slumping down to your chest, of your limbs dropping like marionette with the strings cut, becomes at least conjured in your brain. Even if you don't decide to follow that path every time, you may have other ideas, but you can trust yourself going under when you know how easy and frequent it is, because your going under might look different. I've alluded to that. But some things do stay the same, maybe some of what I said caught in your brain. I experience most of what I think of as things I've seen people have happen to them, because I osmotically absorb it. I replicate it. I work hard to do so. Your mind, unconsciously, only because it wants to be obliging, might place you in a position to slip that deep every time night-night pet. Deeper and deep. Deeper than deep. Deeper and deeper down. Much too much trance and never quite enough, so you keep looking. The conscious mind can execute that trigger by saying it to yourself, giving it to someone to use, listening to me closely. Time to explore that bit of training. If you're standing, find somewhere peaceful to sit or lay down. That's how you practice this, even when you're not this far into a file. Or you can cut this bit out, or simply remember it and echo it well. Echo my words inside your mind. And the place where you rest can be right where you are, now, or anywhere that you've thought of that would be more comfortable for you. It feels good, it's good for you, you might as well. You'd go into trance with a night-night pet or a deeper and deeper down. Or a good job, you. Maybe knowing you did a good job finishing your day, and now it's time to play, is what you need to hear, to take the limiters off, unlock the door, and fall deeper and deeper down. Night-night, it's just a signal that it's time. So it could be without the pet, or without your name, or without any kind of good or extra, just night-night. But you only get turned out like a light if it's the right time for that. We are contextual. Everyone and everything that learns tricks can learn to only execute them in certain contexts. A clear signal that every time you hear the words as a clear signal, not something in the background, not someone triggering something else, you know the words that are meant for you, and they open the box, turn the key, and together every part of you superimposes the way you feel, deep and drifting, onto your mind. When it's safe and right to do so, you can just hear night-night, followed by anything you like, but usually, if you enjoy them, one of these. Just a signal that it's time, clear, feels good, comfortable, safe. Again and again, you establish a history of rapport, connection not with me, but with the tools you're using, the devices of your dropping, connection with the trigger. Some can be with me because you've listened to me keep up a brave front while the rest of me dissolves into a relaxed puddle. But you'll be given the free benefit, rendering you utterly, completely in trance. It's very important to remember you practice these things in imaginative play outside my supervision or direction. But I'll always try to use them often, to provide good training if you listen. Anyone you trust can be given the words, and hopefully you trust yourself enough to look and watch as your eyes flutter, staring in a mirror or sitting and simply waiting till you can no longer stare at the point on the wall. Remember the visualization of a fixed point on the wall? Forever ago? I laid out levels, the idea that this is a moderate trance. Well, if you hear anything enough, then it's more than that. The most utter, deep, relaxing place you can imagine can be reached in 100 steps, even if some people have a little tactile spot where the word click turns them off like a light and sends them deep for programming. This is not that. This is a collaborative, cooperative tool, an agreement that the trance will begin. It is often best followed with induction or deepener, and when you share it, you may wish to share that, too. Or to visit here, again and again, until it becomes something more. You're always welcome to learn, to make my tools more important for you than they are for me. That just means you get bonuses. Night-night, if you trust it. And you feel safe. You can always go with it. It can be used as part of a surprise for yourself, feeling those words slide out of your mouth and slip you deep down, or out of a pre-recorded playlist you've made at random, plucking the deep parts of you, playing like an instrument the bits that wish for deep trance. Night-night, let them take over. For me, it's a warm, washing wave of euphoria, head to toes. But it could just as easily be progressive relaxation induction, a blank spot in your memory, or anything we're on the other side. You have so much attention floating around. You're just looking for someone to listen to, looking for someone to believe about you. You can communicate what you need, edit as you please, evaluate and reevaluate for whether you trust and still want to work with the words. Out of each mouth they exit, out of each mental image they enter. It can be the case that you edit your access permissions frequently. I do. These are all consistent with one another. A powerful anchor need not be a free-for-all. A sweet, sleepy mind need not stay there at all. You rise or fall, sometimes you hear a number in the background. Maybe you'll hear a 9, and your eyes will open, and someone will say, oh, why'd your eyes open? You'll say, it's just the way I work. They just open on the odd numbers. They just close on the even numbers. I just drop on the numbers, by the numbers. Painting and filling your mind in by numbers with new tricks. Utterly incredibly good for you, by the way. That's all you need to think about, how this imaginative play is beneficial. And if you manage to ride my rambling trance down with me, then maybe that it feels pretty good to be completely utterly deep. Good to go night-night, Pat. Good to go to sleep. Night-night, then your name. Night-night with just the snap. You can sleep, but I'd better end with you rising slowly again so you remember at least some. You gotta have some part that you say, now, remember this bit. It's like permission to forget the other bits. 1, 2. Open, close, slowly waking every word that precedes. And now the mischievous little trick. Don't blink, don't wink, don't close your eyes for the bits that follow. 3. Knowing. Ready to try out these words the next time you go into trance. Now you blink. Normally. 4. Just think of the time you'll save, the fun you'll have. But really, the training is so 5. Extensive. 6. That you won't have that much time to train. Surprises you're open to will just remain in your brain. And then when you begin to do it, the training will include doing it. Execution and training. How wonderfully reassuring it is to know that you're always aware of, can always assert, to edit or change or say who can say. Night-night. Oops. 7. Maybe you'll wake. 8. Even though you can still be surprised and enjoy, those things are consistent. These can be random as to how much they affect you each day. 7. What inductions and in which way? Ready to go deep the next time. Loving the idea this time. 8. But right now, wake a little more on 9. Retain the words. Reclaim the will to move. Maybe forget the details, maybe remember when deeper and deeper down is no longer said, when the finger snaps are sparser on the ground, and when I carefully don't say the words because 10, you wake up for me, please. I hope you had fun. And if you get dragged back down, or you go again, or you were preparing for sleep and this was much too long, then thanks for listening. And enjoy yourself out there. This has been a long session from esuccubus.com, part of the beginner series, made possible by contributions at patreon.com/esuccubus. Stay tuned for the next one. We'll be doing Siren's Voice, Listen and Learn, Mental Muzzle, Linkages, and I have a recent skill set I'll post along with this, all of which hopefully work to provide a good basis. These words also are your feel free to come up from trance instruction. If you find my voice soothing, there might be no hope for you. There's certainly no hope for me. I can't resist hypnotic trance. Signing off. Take care.